Blog Talk Radio.
Romans 2 and 5, the righteous judgment of the Most High, who will render unto every man according to his deeds, to them who by patience continue in some well-doing seek for glory and honor and immorality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath.
Great Lucas.
You an African-American?
Nope.
You believe that's your heritage?
Yep.
Do you know who you are?
Nope.
King, queen?
Yep.
Nigga with back?
Nope.
Do you shine like a star?
Yep.
Think they gon' tell us?
Nope.
We gon' expose them?
Yep.
Yeah.
They gon' take your life?
Nope.
So many secrets in the vault?
Yep.
Do this knowledge cost?
Nope.
Hop in the book to my?
Yep.
Do we follow these laws?
Nope.
Do they still exist?
Yep.
Have time to wait?
Nope.
Do we have grace?
Yep.
Continue in sin?
Nope.
I'ma ask you again.
Yep.
Should we continue in sin? Christ is the way.
Yep.
Never gonna win.
Nope.
Trying to make it to heaven.
Yep.
Get there by sinning.
Nope.
Follow the commandments.
Yep.
Everybody got choices. I chose this walk, so why keep on trying? Everybody got choices. Choose the right path and nothing can stop us. Everybody got choices. Righteous life, devil don't like that, nah. Everybody got choices. Choose the right path to save your soul. Never going back.
No.
Forward to the kingdom.
Yep.
All right. Shalom and good evening. Welcome once again to another episode of ISBHBK Presents Bible Talk. Hopefully by now you might get to be familiar with my voice. It's me, Mashaba. I am one of the teachers with the ISBHBK, the Israelite School of Biblical History and Practical Knowledge. Welcome to our podcast. As you might be streaming with us, either through the Blog Talk, the www.blogtalkradio.com, actual podcast that we've been with and set up and established, for the past 12 years now. Or if you happen to be streaming with us through either iHeartRadio podcast under the ISBHBK Bible Talk or the Apple iTunes podcast under ISBHBK Bible Talk. Or let me see, or the Google Podcasts. We also stream through with them. Google Podcasts under ISBHBK Bible Talk. see the catch the rhythm, all right? See a pattern? Or you might be listening through Podcast Addict, right? You might be checking us out through Podcast Addict under ISBHBK Bible Talk. Again, so welcome. If you happen to be one of our listeners and that we do appreciate you tuning in, if you called in, remember, you can also call in live when we're actually airing the show also, but that's a little bit more convenient for you, at area code 646-668-2568. Again, that's area code 646-668-2568. If you want to help try and share and spread the word that the show is on live right now, please take the time to do so. Area code 646-668-2568. Again, shalom and welcome. As you know, we are Hebrew Israelites, and we do teach the truth of the nationality, the truth of the true biblical identity of those people who are of so-called Negro and Indian and so-called Hispanic descent here in North Central South America, the so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, similar Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, and so-called Mexicans that are natives here to the Americas, that your descendancy, your nationality is found in the Bible, and that you are the actual blood descendants of the 12 lost tribes of the nation of Israel, coming out of the man whose name was Israel, whose name was first Jacob, who was the brother of a man named Esau, who became the father of the nation of the Edomites, who the two of them were the sons of a man named Isaac, Isaac being the son of a man named Abraham, the same Abraham that God made his covenant with, that through his seed will be the chosen nation, and from that chosen nation will come the Messiah, whom the world knows as Jesus Christ, the anointed, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Prince of Peace. All right, again, shalom and welcome. A lot of has transpired, brothers and sisters, since the last show that we just did, being last night, being Tuesday. And yes, there is every plan that that uncle, professor, teacher, coach, mentor, nutritionist, herbologist, psychologist, psychiatrist, friend, brother, pal, dad, Tazapah, that he will be back at the helm again, the realm again, this coming Tuesday morning. All right. With that being said, he did have to put a reminder to let everybody know there is another Hebrew Summit coming up. The next Hebrew Summit with the Masorah Yasha'Allah will be November 18th, 19th, and 20th in Norfolk, Virginia. Right? The next Hebrew Israelite Summit will be November 18th, 19th, and 20th in Norfolk, Virginia. As you know, the summits – oh, man, excuse me. The summits are were put together, are being put together by the Masorah Yasha'Allah, the House of David, the Light of Zion, and the AOI, the Believers of the Way, Watchmen of Israel, Hashar with the AOI also, and the brother Daniela with the First Maccabees TV and everything. That we've been coming together for the past couple of years, I think it's going on 4 years now, maybe 5 years, of having these summits of us to try and get together and get some stuff of national unity going. And every 4 months, every 3 to 4 months, we hold these summits in different camps, in the different cities, just to bring some support and attention to each one of the camps that's involved in the different areas. And This year, I forget what number this is going to be. Everybody, hold on 1 second, please. Wifey is calling, so let me handle this. Give me 1 sec.
You on the Bible, Greek word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me.
What?
Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read me.
My name, King James Version. Born in 1611, I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend, but quote what was broke, but it ain't the way it's living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, opening Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Arm. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to John.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't want to hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am, the saints. Blood on their hands. Governments attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples I can still grind to remind them that the place they want to be is still dying.
Yo, I'm a bookshelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power. I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails, mortars the bomb, seven plagues, seven seals, soldiers the swarm, rage in the field, soldiers, storms, the currents, the horns, you've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets, so my creators can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham, may open.
All right. I'm back. And let me check something. She said she didn't get the notice. Could have swore I sent it to him. But let me do this. Take care of this real quick. All right. As I'm saying, a lot has transpired since last night's class. And that's what I wanted to check. I wanted to check the ISBHPK website, the ISBHPK.com website. As I'm going there now, pulling it up, opening it up, it's the pictures that are up from the Passover 2022. One thing that was brought to my attention that you know, I'm skipping on as far as my information, spreading information and everything, that from Israel, I didn't know this, in Norfolk and in Houston, they actually put on fashion shows for a lot of the fashions that are being created through the Israel .com tailors. And it's really something quite amazing. So if you'd like to animate some of your own designs, or even become a model or be a part of that, forget the Essence Week down there in New Orleans or whatever, or Ebony Fashion Week. Check out the Israel fashion show. And I'm going to get more information on that when it will take place. And just another chance for Israel to come together and enjoy each other's talents. And enjoy each other's work. I mean, enjoy each other's company as we Israelites are getting together and enjoying themselves. So as I'm looking here now, before the summit, starting sundown, September 26, 2022, will be the Memorials of Blowing the Trumpets. All right, starting sundown, September 26, 2022, will be the feast, or not the feast, the Memorial of the Blowing the Trumpets. All right, so as we get ready for that, and planning for these type of convocations and holy meetings that we want to participate in and congregate together. Mark it on your calendars. Sundown, September 26th, 2022, will be the Memorial of the Blowing of Trumpets. Right? So for those brothers that as we're obviously still in captivity, we're still in this spiritual Egypt, that if you can plan to get some time off during that time, because we know after the feast, the Memorial of the Blowing of Trumpets, we do have the Day of Atonement. That is 5 days after that. And then after that, we have the Memorial not the Moron, the Feast of Tabernacles, which is one of the three high holidays that the Most High commands all Israelites to come together. I haven't got any further information. Last year, for the Moron of Blowing the Trumpets, the San Antonio camp, San Antonio branch of ISBHBK, had rented out some campground land in southwest San Antonio. They set up tents, had access to campgrounds, and stayed out there overnight, and it was really beautiful. They got fishing out there. There was basketball courts, a huge outdoor kitchen that was able to be put together under a canopy and able to enjoy the Feast of Tabernacles there. I'm not sure if the same plan is for this year as far as the San Antonio camp, or if it's going to be in Houston, a little more centrally located, or if it's going to be in Virginia or in Rochester. But look forward to that coming up. That's really an enjoyable time. But we can all just get away and again, an excuse for us to be together. Right, another excuse for us to be together as we look forward to these things. So officially, we do have the Memorial Blowing of Trumpets, sundown, September 26, 2022. And then we have the Masra Yashala Summit coming up November 18th, 19th, and 20th. They're in Norfolk, Virginia, okay? All right. Let's go ahead and jump into this. As a continuation from last night's class, a continuation from last night's class. But this is, in this, what we've been going over for the past couple of days, months, I don't even know why I said day, forgive me. What we've been going over this past couple of months is there's a lot of I'm going to try to give the most briefest recap that I can because I want to get into this nice class. When we go to Luke, let's go there first. You know, and it's funny that I've got a whole class prepared in my mind, even before we get started, of how I think it's going to go. But as soon as the music starts, my mind starts to racing about where I want to start at, where I want to go to. Then it starts racing about, okay, you forgot this event, you got that event, you forgot to mention the website, you forgot about this, forgot about that. Then my mind gets racing about, well, what about those people, this might be their first time tuning in. You got to kind of catch them up and fill them in. And all this stuff races through my mind. And so that everything I had prepared was ready to jump right into. Another way my mind works is I got to get some of the backstory. Right? I got to get some of the backstory for everything to make sense. If not, it has the potential to sound like a bunch of gibberish, which I don't want to waste anybody's time. I don't want to waste your time. I don't want to waste my own time. So do y'all remember let me get this scripture. Let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 7 and verse 9. Actually, no, we're going to start at Mark chapter 7. We'll start at verse 5. Let me read the scripture first, and then I'm gonna come back and kind of break it down and help this jump off into what I want to bring out. In Mark chapter 7, I'm starting verse 5. It says, "Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands?" Verse 6. He, Christ, answered and said unto them, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Verse 7, howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and of pan and of cups, and many other such things do ye. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own traditions. If we consider what's being said here, and that a lot of us believe that just because now I identify myself as an Israelite, that's all it takes is now for me to call myself an Israelite, and that now the kingdom of heaven is now supposed to suddenly appear. Because now I call myself an Israelite. Now I might be watching a lot more I might not be watching as much more of the secular or worldly type of videos or social media. Yeah, I'm watching a lot more classes on YouTube or even some of the websites that have been built by Hebrew Israelites. I'm watching a lot more of those type of things. I'm listening a lot more to Hebrew Israelite music. I've separated myself from maybe some of the rap, some of the R&B soul music, some of the just worldly music, and now I'm getting more into like more gospel or just Hebrew Israelite influenced music. I'm changing my dress code. I make sure all my shirts now have fringes, or all my blouses now have fringes. I'm a sister, I'm wearing my head bonnet more, my head covering and my scarves more. I'm a brother, I'm wearing a shirt with fringes a whole lot more. I'm changing my eating habits. Now we no longer buy pork, shrimp, crab, or lobster. We might even be buying a lot more organic food, a lot more healthy food. Might even be to the point where some people started their own home gardens or even co-ops to where you got some land and you're actually growing food. And again, we're calling some people Israelites. Some Israelites going as far as leaving America and moving to parts of Africa, parts of the Middle East, moving from America to parts of Central America, parts of South America, moving to the islands, Belize, even Hawaii, Philippines, or what have you, escaping from applying the scripture of Revelation chapter 18, verse 4, of come out of here, my people, that you may not partake of her sins and you may see not of her plagues. the epitome of self-preservation, and that these are not the things that are required, and that this is what's going to have us escape the pollution of the world. And as we see more and more of the LGBTQ push, corruption, indecency, debauchery of being forced upon people through cartoons now, through movies now, through TV series, everywhere you turn and look, commercials, if it's not the LGBTQ behavior being forced upon us, it's the forcing looking at more commercials to have interracial marriages. And all this is just being forced upon the people, especially the minds of young ones, of young people, and the answer for that Israelites is, well, let's separate. The answer for Israelites is, well, let's do this, let's do that, and then now we know the Israelites, everything will be okay. That's not getting us away from. I guess first level of what we just read in Mark chapter 7 here, that of escaping some of the traditions of the world. So when most Hebrew Israelites, we come into the knowledge, you know what, not even just Hebrew Israelites, a lot of people who are not Hebrew Israelites now are starting to follow the ways of the Bible and recognizing who the Hebrew Israelites are, those of Negro, Indian, and so-called Latin and Hispanic descent, of the Americas, like the so-called Mexicans, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, the people of South America, whose fathers are actually natives of this land, but had taken on Spanish nature, taken on Spanish
culture, but were originally the natives of these places, the original natives of Puerto Rico, the original natives of Cuba, the original natives of many of the conquered lands of Central and South America. But you have a lot of people who are wanting to do righteousness. Let's be honest about it. That there's a lot of people who are not Hebrew Israelites that just want to be righteous, that they want to be right by God. So they're even starting to come back and starting to follow the laws of the Father, the laws of the Most High that were given to us by Moses. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. Because we know eventually every knee is going to bow. Whether a person comes from an atheist or not, whether a person grew up as a 18th generation member of the Shaolin Temple, then when Yahweh Shai, the true King of Kings and Lord of Lords, gets here, every knee on the planet Earth is going to bow before him. And it's going to be God's way. God's will be done on this earth. There's no question about that that's going to happen. And it's not going to be a voluntary type of servitude. It's not going to be a voluntary type of choice or decision making. Every knee is going to bow and do things the way God intended for in the beginning, including among the Hebrew Israelites, that right now we got choices. Right now, everybody's got a choice if they want to get ready for when God's kingdom comes and God's will is going to be done on earth like it is in heaven. There's not going to be any caucuses to go to. There's not going to be any voting machines. There's not going to be a democracy. It's very much going to be a totalitarian New World Order that God's righteousness is going to be established on this earth. There's no question about that. So to think it's just exclusive that only the Hebrew Israelites can keep God's laws, to think that only the Hebrew Israelites can keep the dietary law, that only the Hebrew Israelites can keep the moral law, that only the Hebrew Israelites can keep the civil law. No, the whole world is going to keep the law, statutes, commandments, and judgments of the Most High. That God said it, and there's nothing in this universe that's going to stop the word of God. God is not a man that he should lie. It's going to happen. So to be tripping over or getting upset that there's other nationalities that now want to keep the commandments, that's not a big issue for me. If they're trying to do it to escape the judgment that's going to happen to their nation, well, unfortunately, as the Hebrew Israelites were judged as a nation, well, their sins and crimes against the Most High, and that's why we had to come into the current slavery and the past slaveries and oppression we've had to go through. That was the judgment that happened to the Israelites. Well, the other nations have got to be judged as such, or God wouldn't be a fair God, or God wouldn't be a just God. That the other nations are going to have to pay for their sins in the same way that the Hebrew Israelites, that we're having to pay for our sins. All right? But the times will come, again, that's not going to be forever in the paying back of the sins that were committed. It accept the punishment, go through it, and then every nation is going to be at peace. Every nation is going to be set back in their own land under the law, sets, and commandments of the Most High God, of the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. So at one time when I was young, and I wanted, just for black people to own something and for black people to have ownership and control of something. And that from watching movies like, Malcolm X, that when white people came and asked him, the white woman came and asked him when he was at Boston University, is there anything that white people can do to help your movement? He's like, no. I understood that. I understand that mentality. No, we as a people need to come together. The Israelites need to come together. And, repent. That definitely has to happen. But again, to have this thing that only the Hebrew Israelites now can keep the law of God, no, all the world is going to keep the law of God. That's going to happen. That is not going to stop. But at the same time, it's also not going to prevent the salvation of the Hebrew Israelites from the current captivity that we're in. All right, like Christ said in Revelation chapter 13, verse 9 and 10, he that has an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth you into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. That those prophecies and other prophecies like that, they can't, they're not going to be nullified. They're not going to be become void. That then that wouldn't be of the Most High. That wouldn't be of God. Then that means that God would be a liar. As far as Isaiah, the 14th chapter, that Israel's going to rule over those who held them oppressive. But, and us ruling over those that had the Israelites in oppression, and for those who led us in captivity, they're going to be going to captivity. Yeah, even God has laws for slavery. Even God has laws for servitude that cannot be exceeded. That if you go past, and this was the whole thing about part of the judgment that's coming to the Europeans for their treatment of the Israelites in captivity, that they took it too far, that there was nothing wrong with the nations being put over the Hebrew Israelites as a belt, if you will, to chastise us for our sins, to chastise the Hebrew Israelites for our mannerisms. You read that through the first couple of verses of Obadiah. That the nations, they took it too far. The Europeans, they took it too far. To come back now and to call themselves us, the Israelites, to call themselves the Christians, to take away our identity from us, that's something that no other nation ever did. The Babylonians never claimed to be the Israelites. They had the captivity, but they still recognized us as Israelites, let us worship our God as Israelites. They never took that from us, and again, put themselves up as they're the Israelites, and we are the Gentiles. The Babylonians never did that. The Assyrians never did that. The Persians and Medes didn't do that. Even the Greeks didn't do that. Now, each of them had their crucifixions going on, had their various tortures going on, had their various cruelties going on. But to get to the point where now they claim themselves to be the Israelites, and for us now to be the Gentiles, and for us now to be the heathen, for us to be the savages, no other nation ever did that. And that was taking slavery too far. They took the bondage too far. Because that meant, in doing that, when you read Revelation chapter 2, verse 9, that the blasphemy of those who say they're Jews and are not, you took away all hope for us. You took away from the Israelites the opportunity for us to understand what we did wrong to God, and now we can make it right with God. You took it away from us. And that blasphemy, that is damn unforgivable. So that the people, the children of God, that's like in The Lion King, in the first movie of The Lion King, that when his father died, Mustafa died, and his uncle was all treacherous in the way he was, for Simba to grow up not knowing he was a lion, that was a crime. And then for the wrong people to be put in charge, but one thing they didn't do, even in the Lion King, they didn't call themselves the lions. They just kept his identity away from him, which in itself is a very punishable offense. But to take away the identity of the Israelites and not call yourself the Israelites, the Christians, the Jews, to leave us with no way of getting back to the Father, that's not right. And then to expect that now the inheritance that's supposed to go to the true natural children, that's supposed to go to the Israelites, that you want to claim it for yourself and get mad that now the Israelites are waking up to the truth of the nationality, and you're still trying to stop that process. That's you're taking it too far. That's being taken too far, and there's going to be some retribution for that, some godly retribution. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. That's coming from God. That's got nothing to do with our personal feelings as Israelites, our personal feelings or emotions or the vendetta that we feel that we owe so-called white people, that's got nothing to do with us, right? That's why even in the law, it tells us not to abhor an Edomite, that's not for us, that we get so emotional to the point where we take matters in our own hands. That got nothing to do with us, right? That judgment has everything to do with God and the nation of Edom. So that the God's judgment was with the nation of Israel. And even within the nation of Israel, there were some good prophets. There were some good servants. They still had to come to captivity, like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That even though they were good in the eyes of God, they still had to come in captivity, even at the time under the Babylonians. So it wasn't just wicked Israelites that were put in captivity. The whole nation was. Jeremiah, Isaiah, Ezekiel, they still subject to the various captivities that we were still subject to, even though they were righteous men, even though they were good men. Joshua, the Maccabees, that they still had to go be subject to the captivities that we were in, even though they were good men, okay? Because God judges the nations. God deals with the whole nation. If one suffers, then everybody's got to suffer, okay? So my long opening statement now, again with all this, as it leads back to Mark chapter 7, is in reference to there's a lot of things that we do as Israelites to where we still observe a lot of the same customs and traditions, and we reject the commandment of God and the different type of customs and traditions that we still partake in. Now, besides the obvious ones of the customs and traditions, Easter, Christmas, birthdays, Thanksgiving, Independence Day, Juneteenth, Halloween, Valentine's Day, Memorial Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Secretary's Day, what have you, all those man-made things, true enough. And those are the obvious ones, all right, that many Hebrew Israelites are getting away from the all the various man-made feast days of Thanksgiving, Labor Day, Memorial Day, New Year's Eve dinner, and those type of traditions, the catfish, the gumbo, the pork from the rooter to the tutor. We start to find ourselves getting away from a lot of those customs, a lot of those traditions, which is proper. But there's still more to it, that there's still a lot of customs and traditions that are so deeply furrowed and embedded in our minds and our spirits that we don't really consider or understand still go against God, even though now we're at the point where I'm calling myself a Hebrew Israelite. I'm now following the high holy days. I don't follow the worldly holidays that now I only observe God's holy days. I no longer eat the foods of the world. I'm even putting fringes on everything. All to the good. But it goes deeper than that, brothers and sisters, that the corruption and the lifestyle seeking that a lot of Israelites got caught up into long before we ever came to captivity 500 years ago in 1492, when Columbus Incorporated first got here, that long before that, going all the way back to when we first came out of Egypt, even in the wilderness, there's a lot of lifestyles, customs, traditions, that we as Israelites, from even way back then, that have remained with us throughout all these generations, throughout all these years, that these concepts still remain with us, all right? So where we're at now in my studies and trying to bring out to the people through my classes and everything and through some of my talks is there's this mentality and there's this push right now, particularly among Hebrew Israelites, as far as getting that we need to acquire land, and then in the acquiring of land, that we can have access to growing our own crops, we have access to our own herds, our own food, that we can have our own land, and in so doing, that we're going to escape the punishments, escape the afflictions, escape the oppression of what's hindering us here in being in North America. And again, as I come back, and this has been something that's been in progress, brothers and sisters, that as the Ben Ami group coming out of Chicago that went back to Israel back in the 1970s, they caught hell getting to the promised land. African Americans, which would be from the tribe of Judah that we know of, actually got together, pulled whatever resources they had, and they moved to Israel. And there was a Ben Ami group, and I forget the part of Israel that they moved to. It'll come to me. It's pretty common. It just right now the name escapes me. But they're there. But and wanted to escape the conditions and the oppression and the slavery here in America. And the belief that once I get out of America, I'm no longer going to serve my enemies, and now God's righteousness can be established because we have now moved back to Israel. Well, as they got back to Israel, and they were given the worst land in Israel, the most farmless land in Israel, upon condition that in being in Israel, that they would still have to join the Israeli army. And they had to do a mandatory 2 years in the Israeli army. So now, instead of serving here in America, in the American government, you're still serving the American government, but now it's speaking Yiddish, Hebrew, in Israel, and you still got to serve your enemies in the promised land. But the delusion is that now you've gotten away, because you've gotten away from America, you know you're Hebrew Israelites, that now everything's going to be hunky-dory. And they have caught hell over there ever since. From the Jewish people, the white people, the Israeli community, Israeli government, that from Revelation chapter 2 verse 9, are the main ones calling themselves Jews, and they're not. But the belief that if we just get away from America, that Hebrew Israelites get away from America, and we get to a point where we can grow our own crops, we have our own communities, that everything's going to be good till the Messiah comes. It kind of started with them that, no, that's not the truth. And then as we see, I came to the truth in 1988, the latter part of 1988. You come back now and be looking and seeing from that time how many Israelites have actually now, again, moved to Egypt. They're moving to out of America, again, and acquiring land, getting land, and this belief that since we're Hebrew Israelites, that all we got to do is get out of America, and we're going to, everything's going to be okay. And for all the hybrid food and all the GMO food, that we can probably get somewhere and have something that's our own that we've never had before. And that now we can escape. Let me pull this up, brothers. Let me pull this part up. And again, I know I'm doing all this talking again, and I'm shooting myself in the foot. And the reason I'm doing so much talking, brothers and sisters, it's not that if you met me, if you meet me, I'm not one to do a lot of talking. But I know if you listen to these last podcasts, you would think different. But I don't like to do a lot of talking. I really, really do not like to do a lot. I'm not really a social person. I'm not really an extrovert. I'm very introverted. I'm very introverted. I'm not an extrovert at all. But in trying to line up these lessons that I'm bringing out, I know I got to do a lot of setting up, so that these scriptures as I bring them out might make a little bit more sense, because some of these angles that I know I'm coming with that is different from what even Orthodox Hebrew Israelites, the angles that they're bringing out. that, and I know this, and I understand this. To where a brother said, I'll be honest. Sometimes I'm studying these things are being revealed. I'm like, wow, the thought is that has me up sleepless a lot of nights where I can't sleep. Is as these things are being revealed, as I'm doing more study, I'm finding more history. That it's like, I could never bring this out. That even now I'm in my own community, give me 1 second, y'all. Even in my own community, this is going to be rejected. This is going to be looked at as, nigga, you're just lazy. You're just, you're not ambitious enough. You don't want nothing. And brothers and sisters, I promise y'all, that is not the case. That is not the case. Let me see if I can find this here. Come on now. Everybody, give me 2 seconds. Well, I'm going to be a little bit longer now. I wouldn't say 2 seconds. Hold on.
Sirens and semis pop. Judah keep vexing Ephraim. When will the envy stop? No love for any cops. That's what got Kenny shot. Y'all drinking Henny shots. I'm investing in penny stocks. They give me props. Rapping, teaching, debating, unity while Satan trying to weaken the nation. Cops in my community kill us with every opportunity. No justice or peace. The police get immunity.
And I know this is getting redundant, but I figure, you know, that you know, as much as we're known for kicking the dead horse here on ISBHBK Bible Talk, that we're going to keep going at a point and keep going at something, not just one time, and that's it, that we're going to be going over this several times. And as I keep going over these particular type of lessons, this I feel like almost with each lesson, I got to almost start here and lead back into it, because I know people are not hearing the previous shows, and it just sounds unbelievable that it's a tuning out, a tuning off. It's a not paying attention. I don't want to hear that. I'm not dealing with that. It's a bother. That I sit and I actually try and consider. I go back and I listen to the shows and I realize how much talking now I'm having to do. And it almost sounds unbelievable. But again, I'm going over this, I try to gather all the information I can, so I give it to y'all, so y'all can do your own research also. You don't have to take my word for it. Please don't take my word for it, all right? Please do not take my word for it. I'm not trying to be a leader. I tell many brothers and sisters I'm not a leader. I tell many brothers and sisters I'm not a leader. I'm a man trying to work on my salvation and the salvation of my family, in preparing for Christ's kingdom, where God's will is going to be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm every much a bit of a sinner as the very worst man. that can be thought of. I have so many sins, iniquities, so much pride within myself. I do not claim to be anywhere near one of God's anointed, anywhere near one of God's 144,000. I don't consider myself in that league at all. When I first came to this knowledge, the prayer I sent to the Father was, Father, now even if I can't make it, let me help get your people back to the kingdom. That was my sincere prayer that I made to the Father, that even if I can't make it, if I can be one of the ones that just helps get your people back to you, then let me at least fulfill that part. Let me do my part in that. So, again, I'm saying all that, not for no pat on the backs, not for no reverse psychology and trying to get some praise and some sympathy. That is not why I'm saying any of these things that I'm saying. But getting back to some of these points I'm bringing out, that as there's this push for if we just get our own land, especially when COVID hit, we need to get our own land, grow our own crops. We do know where Hebrew Israelites now. From the movement in the 70s with the Ben-Amis moving back to Israel, to Dimona, moving back to Dimona, and then many various other Israelite groups since then that have just left the states. And it's this thing that if I get away to these other countries, I get away out of America, then I'm going to find some type of haven. I'm going to find some type of safe place. And even with that, the thoughts that kept coming to me with that was, if it's about us having our own land, then what the hell do the Native Americans have here in America on what people call reservations? Growing up in Albuquerque and then actually visiting a lot of the reservations around Albuquerque, I don't see the Native Americans there prospering. And I'm not talking about the $5 Indians that actually own the casinos, as if that money from the casino is uplifting the whole reservation. Y'all would be surprised if when you drive through New Mexico, you see the reservation. It's nothing like what you might think a reservation might look like on TV. They look like ghost towns. They are not. And no, it's not just tumbleweeds. I mean, it's not just the one cactus and just the one church, or what have you. But it's some desperately poor, poverty stricken, I can't even call them ghettos. They are decrepit. They really are decrepit. And this thought that, yeah, that now that we're Hebrew Israelites, if we just go get some land somewhere, that's going to be the answer. What do the Native Americans have throughout southwestern America? The largest Navajo reservation, it spans between Arizona and New Mexico. All the little small reservations around the Pueblo reservations, the Navajo, good Lord, there's nothing but reservations. And it's not like there's a big giant fence separating Mexico and America, separating the reservations from America. It's not like that. And if you drive by, you wouldn't even know you're driving by them. Unless maybe you saw a sign that says Acoma Reservation. Isleta Reservation, Sandia Reservation. Beyond that, you wouldn't even know. All you can see, it looks like this desert. It looks like this straight desert. But they got their own land. And it's not this prosperous image of what everybody's got in mind, that if we just get our own land, grow our own crops, build our own schools, our own houses, that's going to be the ticket. That's going to be salvation. Then I considered, okay, so we leave America, and now we're going to go to one of the islands. Okay, then why are the people from the islands trying to get to America? I lived in Miami, and I've seen on the news. I didn't actually go down to the beach and saw it with my own eyes, but I've seen on the news down there in Miami how many immigrants getting away from Cuba. Just trying to make it to the shores of, if it's the Florida Keys. From downtown Miami, you can see, on a clear night, you can see Cuba. It's only like 90 miles away. On a clear night, you can see Cuba from Miami, Miami Beach. You can go up one of the hotels, go up to the roof, get high enough. You can actually see Miami. That's how close it is. All they got to do, the Cubans, if they can just make it to the shores of America, they can file for immigration status, immigration protection. Asylum. I've seen the Haitians being fought not to make it to the shores of America. That as long as the Coast Guard who or immigration whoever can make sure they don't make it to the shores, they will be captured, taken to some immigration processing center, and sent back to Haiti. I've seen this. I've seen how many Jamaicans, Bahamians, Trinidadians have made South Florida their home. I mean, Broward County. Please, they might as well call that a little Jamaica. There's so many Jamaicans there and Bahamians. When you get to to Hollywood, Hollandale, coming into South Broward, all along the beach, all those housing communities over there, that's all Bahamians and Trinidadians. And for everybody trying to get from those places, those islands, and those to get to the Americas, my thing about this is, so why is everybody trying to get over there and they're trying to get over here? If it's about, we're supposed to just have our own land and be able to grow our own crops and grow our own food, that, and then wait for Yahweh Shai. Wait for Christ. Wait for the Savior. So why is this happening then? When we saw the trail of people coming from, especially when Trump was in office, the trail of people walking from South America. And as they were walking, more and more people gathered this human train and walking from South America all the way through Central America. From South Central America of Guatemala. Did I have that right? If I know my geography. From Guatemala through Ecuador, through Guatemala. El Salvador, Costa Rica, Panama, coming up into Mexico, right, if I got that correct, I know I'm missing some countries, that train came saying get to the borders of Mexico and America, just be turned away? What the hell is really going on? That are we really taking a look at this proper? Is this really about we going to go and just get some land, and that's going to be it, and we're going to live in harmony, we're going to live in peace, just eat the good of the land, and it's going to be all good, and then we're living like that, and then all of a sudden, poof, your house I get there, and we just take off in the chariots, and we're gone. No. So, brothers and sisters, I'm asking everybody to do this, and I'm trying not to be turning back here, but a list of freedmen's towns. Right? It's a Wikipedia site. Look it for yourself. A list of freedmen's towns. I'm going to read this here. It says, a historically African-American municipality known in various areas as Freedmen's Town, Freedom Towns, or All Black Towns, are municipalities which were established by or for a predominantly African-American populace. Many of these municipalities were established or populated by freed slaves, either during or after the period of legal slavery in the United States in the 19th century. Let me get this here, because if they use this word, a municipality. Let as I'm looking this up, you know, for those who don't know, my wife is from a small town in Georgia. I'm not even sure about the exact population, but this is a very small town. A very small town. And I don't want to go into her, that deep of her personal business, but she's from a very small town in Georgia. But you, at any minute, you expect to see Bone Luke Duke in the General Lee with the you know, the car dressed at the Confederate flag, named after the Confederate General Lee. Expecting to see Roscoe P. Coltrane, that backwoods sheriff, that Huckleberry sheriff or whatever, walking down dirt roads, watching Andy Griffin and his son Opie about to go do some pole fishing to scare up some vittles for dinner. One of those small ass towns, but there's a lot of black people in that small town, and a lot of the small towns around that small town. My other baby's mom, she's from Jamaica, the jungle of Kingston, Jamaica, which is a ghetto. And her telling the stories about how they have what's called a standpipe, that the whole neighborhood would get all their water from a pipe that had been broken and came up out of the ground. And it was called a standpipe. And it'd be nothing for the whole neighborhood block to be at the standpipe where people would do their laundry, wash their dishes, and take a bath right there in front of everybody at the standpipe, because at this, and that's what it was, standpipe. If I had a better Jamaican accent, I could say it with the Jamaican accent, where that's where they would wash and do laundry in front of everybody, because that was the only running water. And the electricity only ran for a couple hours during the day. This is in Jamaica. Beautiful Jamaica. And I was, everybody from there is trying to get here. And they can just get to America. And we got all the Americans here talking about, if I can just get to Jamaica, I'll get my own land. I can do this, I can do that, whatever. And we're going to be free. We're going to be good. Brothers and sisters, that is... That's been very difficult for me to accept. That if it's not going to be in the promised land under Yahweh Shai, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I don't know. I can't see it being any other way. So municipality is, let me enlarge this. From the Oxford Dictionary, is a city or town that has corporate status and local government. So we had African-American towns, freedom towns, black towns that were municipalities. So in being a municipality, they were incorporated, had corporate status, and a local government. This was established. These were established in America either during or right after the Civil War. And when I consider this and I look at it, I'm like, good Lord. Again, the thought process that this is all we need to do. And brothers and sisters, I don't really think we've done some studying and understood. That's not going to be our escape. If we're not going to be led out of Egypt by the Messiah in the same way that we were led out of ancient Egypt by the Savior Moses, everything else we do is not going to work. And it's been tried already. Brothers and sisters, there's a scripture here, and this came to my mind. When we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, let me pull it up on my computer real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, and we used to teach this a lot when I first came in. And it's similar to, you know, the thing of, you've tried the rest and I'll try the best. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last." We used to always key on that, and especially my elders, my teachers used to always key on that scripture there, that precept there, and showing that the Most High set forth us last. That the apostles, the ones that are actually doing it Christ's way or that Christ is going to be using, they're going to be last. That means that everything else has been tried. So as I come back and I've studied, I've focused and meditated on that scripture over the years, that we're thinking it's about now if we get out, you know, vote or die. We had that campaign going with Russell Simmons, P. Diddy, and other celebrities, vote or die. To go back and consider, and that's under the impression that black people don't vote, we weren't allowed to vote, and that you don't see any black people in political offices because we don't get out to vote. But then when you come back and look at, just like from right here, we had municipalities that had been set up by all black people. So these municipalities had their own local governments. So we had governors, mayors, councilmen. They were all black. We had congressmen. They were all black. The Black Congressional Congress has been around by black people, black mayors. We had cities. Some were running by black people. So now this push when it was the get out, vote or die campaign was going on was with the assumption that this is something that we never tried before, that we never tried voting before, that because of Jim Crow laws or whatever, that we never tried voting before. But now if we get out and vote, we can make a change. And we're thinking that because of our votes, that's why Barack Obama made it into office. But remember, our votes had got Al Gore into office. But then we learned about the Electoral College. And then our votes just let the America know, let Congress know, or let whoever know that we would, the popular vote, we want Al Gore in, but if you don't win the Electoral College, it don't matter. You're just giving your opinion. And it's good you have an opinion, but really, if it's not done by the Electoral College, it doesn't matter. But you have your opinion, cool. We saw that then with George W. Bush Jr. and Al Gore, that voting, that is not the ticket. That's not the key. And we go back and consider how long we've been black people in Congress, black people in senators, that as if that's never been tried. And if it wasn't that, it was the push for, well, what about that education is the key? That there's been this thought that we've just been dumb, illiterate, field hands, and that we never set up historically black universities. That we've never tried these things before. So now we need the United Negro College Fund, and we need to support that and the NAACP and support these type of things, and that we can also now get our kids that no child left behind, the Reading Rainbow, LeVar Burton or what have you, that now we need to get upgraded in our schools. We need to get more black teachers involved with black kids and where black kids are coming from and get away from the standardized testing. But as I type in, the first HBCU was HBCU. Let's put HBCU. Enter. The very first historically black college was Cheney University of Pennsylvania. Became the nation's first historically black college and university, HBCU, February 25th, 1837. 30 years before the Civil War was established the very first historically black college university, which is Cheney University of Pennsylvania in 1837. So we have been receiving an education, a university level education, have access to it from 1837, having graduates from 1837. And what has that done for us as black people? That hasn't changed us. But the thought that now education is the key, and that if you get an education, that you're going to better your condition, because knowledge is power. But all that knowledge that we've been acquiring from February 25th, 1837, how has that gotten us any closer to God's righteousness? How has that gotten our minds more closer prepared for God's education, God's knowledge? It hasn't. But how many people today are breaking their budgets as well as their backs in acquiring that college debt, in acquiring student loans, as long as I finally get a degree, as long as if I make sure I go to school, that this is going to make it better for us as black people when we are the very first HBCU was established February 25th, 1837. Brothers and sisters, that, so I'm saying this now, and relating you back to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, that I think that the Most High set forth us, the apostles, last, that what we don't, aren't aware of, that the Most High sent the apostles, the ones that are the true way, are going to come last. But what we really don't, haven't taken a look at or considered, is just how many different ways have been presented to us as blacks, so-called Native Americans, black so-called Native Americans, how many different ways have been presented to us that as if God's righteousness is finally going to be here, God's government is finally going to be here, God's will is going to finally be done? Brothers and sisters, this we've already... The point I'm really trying to bring out, if I may, is that we've already tried a lot of these things. That now we're coming together now as if now this is something new, and now this is going to be the ticket. That this is now something that finally came up with a plan, an idea of this is what's going to finally get us free. This is going to finally have us accepted. And what I'm trying to bring out in all these classes, as of lately, these past like 6 months, is that a lot of things that we are pursuing heavy and hard have already been tried and done. And we have not come to face with these things. We have not confronted these things within ourselves at all. We really believe that we have just reinvented the wheel for the first time. And we don't look and consider that, no, we're not really taking a look at, no. There is more to it than now us just now calling ourselves Israelites. And now that we acquire some, and we're going to acquire some land. And that's it. That's all that we're waiting on. But there's so much more to it. And that's some of the things I'm trying to bring out. All right? These are some things I'm trying to bring out. So, when we come back and look at this list of these historically African American municipalities or cities or towns that were all black, all African American, they had their own local government and corporate status within their states. Now, 2 days ago, I was bringing out about Blackdom, New Mexico, which is 6 miles south of Roswell, New Mexico. The other one I was trying to bring out, and I couldn't think of the name of it yesterday, is in Texas. And when y'all go to this site, it's the Wikipedia site, there are every state of the union, except like Alaska. Except for Hawaii, has had these black towns, not universities, these black African-American municipalities. I don't see Utah. I don't see Utah here. I don't see Wyoming. The Carolinas. I don't see Virginia. Oh, there's Virginia. Texas. Georgia, Florida, New York, New Jersey. I don't see Maine. I'll take that back. Here's Maine. Those are the only ones that I don't see. Missouri, yes. Kentucky, yes. Alabama, yes. Nevada. I don't see Nevada. Nebraska, yes. The Dakotas. I don't see the Dakotas on this list. I don't see Wisconsin on this list. Indiana, yes. Illinois, yes. I mean, there's only very few states that are not here. All the rest of them are here. They had all black municipalities established. I want to go to Texas, only because, you know, I spent time in San Antonio, Texas. In San Antonio, Texas, well, in Texas, Barrett Station was an all-black municipality established by all black people in Texas. Douglas Community was established in Texas. Deep Ellum in Dallas was established. Ellis Alley in San Antonio was established. Elm Hills, or Elm Thicket in Dallas. Freedmanstown Historical District in the Fourth Ward of Houston was established. Independent Heights in Houston was established. What is this? Kimbleton was established in Texas. Little Egypt. Can y'all believe that? There was a town called Little Egypt in Texas, all black town. Moore Station in Texas. Moser Valley in Texas. Pelham, Texas. Payton, Texas. Quakertown, Texas. St. John's Colony in Texas. Shankleville in Texas. Tamia, Texas. 10th Street Historic District in Dallas. All these were historically black towns, all black towns or municipalities that we had our own, they had corporate status, and they had their own local governments, all ran by so-called black people. So they acquired the acreage, the land rights. They had farming on each of these places. They had markets. They had businesses. They had government. They had been established, and it was all black. Now, even in San Antonio, this one I was trying to get to yesterday, but I couldn't think of the name of it. In San Antonio, you had a place set up right on the east side of San Antonio called Ellis Alley in San Antonio. And I'm going to see if I can pull this up here. Who's here? Is one of my kids here? Can I borrow one of my, somebody who can read for me real quick? Real quick, please. Yeah. You need to come over here so you can read. All right, I'll give you 2 seconds. I'm going to my brother read for me. My sister read for me. Are you my daughter? Okay, my daughter's going to read for me. You can start here where it says Northeast Side.
Northeast Side. Sports and live music fans flocked to the Near East Side with visit All right, so right next to the Alamo Dome, in the northeast side of, we consider the northeast side of San Antonio, it pretty much begins at the Alamo Dome. For, that's right off of, basically, that's like, it's beginning of I-37, 281 going south, and like where 281, 35 kind of merge, all right? On the east side, right there off of Commerce. But keep reading.
Once home to actress Joan Crawford.
Joan Crawford.
This part of San Antonio includes Charming St. Paul Square, Ellis Alley, one of the first African American neighborhoods in San Antonio.
So Ellis Alley was one of the first African American neighborhoods in San Antonio. Read on.
The historic up and coming neighborhoods of Dignity Hill, Government Hill, and the Nope Hill, San Antonio Historic District, with its landmark home to Elizabeth Bowen Nelson House and other classical revival architecture.
All right, thank you, baby. But one of the first black townships in San Antonio was right down the northeast side, what was called Ellis Alley. Now, if you could pull up Ellis Alley on your maps, you'll get. Let me see if I can get some images of Ellis Alley. Because for those of you that have ever been to San Antonio on the east side, you've been to the Riverwalk, to the River Center Mall, and right across the street from River Center Mall is that Denny's, and right next to Denny's you have the basically it's I-37. Then just on the other side of I-37, you have right now it's like a bus transfer station across from the train station. That was one of the very first black towns, all black towns, established in Texas called Ellis Alley. I'm going to see if I can pull this up. Now, I know I'm not wasted, but all my time is gone here towards this. It's now they call it the Ellis Alley Enclave, and let me see. Maybe it's on maps. I got you. Thank you, baby. This is going to take too much time. Everybody, I'm going to ask you all to just look up the images of Ellis Alley, San Antonio. And when y'all pull it up, if you ever been to River Center Mall and you stood outside River Center Mall and you look east towards away from with River Center Mall towards your back and you're looking east, y'all know exactly what place I'm talking about. Y'all will see. You know you've seen this so many times traveling. If you came from I-37 and exit off of Commerce, you've driven right past this. And that's why it's so shocking to me as I keep bringing this out that, damn, to know that at one time, this part of the city was actually an all-black town set up right there on the east side of San Antonio. And I always be wondering, like, why the east side is where all the black people lived. We actually had our own town with its own government, and it was incorporated by black people, by us. And bringing this out, like I said, if you go back to this list of in all these different places, that damn, we've already had so many municipalities and towns that had acreage, had land, had farms, had crops, had herds, we had our own government, we had our own banks, we had our own businesses, we had our own, it was all self-contained with just black people. But when we come back and read Deuteronomy chapter 28, and verse 15 and 16, it says that because we've not just keep the commandments of the Lord our God, that all these curses was going to come upon us and overtake us, that cursed should we be in the city, and cursed should we be in the field. That as we've gotten away from the cities, and we came to set up our own cities, that they still fell. So when we consider Black Wall Street, we consider Rosewood, and all these all-black municipalities that have fell and been destroyed and wiped out, and you might walk by it every day, drive by it every day, and not even know that at one time that all of that land belongs to all black people, and that there was towns there, but they got wiped out or destroyed or absorbed. That just because we had land and that we grew some crops and we had some acreage and we set up some businesses, it didn't stand. It didn't last. We're still the same people that, well, we were in the promised land. It didn't. Being in the promised land and knowing that we're Israelites, being in the promised land, we had the best crops. But we had the best crops, where we had the best of everything, it still didn't last. So 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9, when it tells us that I think that the Most High set forth us, the apostles, last, that everything, that even though we call some people Israelites, we're still trying to do follow some traditions and customs, that we need to get our own land now. We need to get this. We need to get that. We need our own food. We need to go ahead and escape to different countries. We need to get out of America, and that's going to make everything all right, make everything good. We do need to get out of America, but it's going to be under our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who the world calls Jesus Christ. It's not going to be because we came up with a man-made way to get out of America that now that is going to be blessed. But that now here, while here in America, that now we're going to be blessed because we got off the grid here in America. This Bible still said that we're going to be subject to our enemies in the one of all things until Christ, the anointed Savior, the Hamashiach, Yahushua, shall come to save his people from the hand of our enemies and the hand of all that hate us. So this little hour and a half is already expired. And again, Brother says, I wish I could just jump right into the class, and I want to. Last night we read Judges chapter 17 and 18. And what we left off in Judges chapter 17, Judges chapter 18, we left off with, again, everybody only doing what was right in their own eyes, and not submitting to the government established by the Most High, and not submitting to God's statutes, laws, and judgments, that everybody was doing what was right in their own eyes, to where, yeah, a woman got raped to death by the men of a city, an Israelite city, a city full of all Israelites, that this woman was raped by Israelites, not Canaanites, not Moabites, Ammonites, Japhites, Israelites took this woman, raped her to death, and then her husband cut her body up in 12 pieces and sent it to the 12 tribes, to the different capitals of the 12 tribes of Israel. We finished with that last night. And as we continue, I'm trying to pick this up tomorrow. As we continue, we're going to pick up in chapter 20 and 21 and get into some Josephus and a few more commentaries. And we're going to look at and examine and see how the civil war that ensued behind these things, that it wasn't just the act of this woman being raped to death, this Levite's concubine being raped to death. that was putting a spotlight on this house of Veer. This mentality had gotten among Israelites that everybody only did right by what came to their mind. And that, again, the measure of everybody, the measure of a person's prosperity was the only measurement that people used to determine if it was right or if it was wrong. That mentality of if it don't make dollars, it don't make sense, that's not a new line in Israel. That's not a new mentality in Israel. We've had that mentality since we came out of Egypt, even while Moses was still alive. That it's not making me some more money so I can afford more of the finer things, then it don't make sense. That we have carried that mentality to the extreme. To yeah, finally this concubine did get raped to death. But if we examine it, I was going through some of the commentaries. Even the fact that this Levite took this a concubine to wife. Levites, the priesthood was supposed to take virgins to wife. The Levites were not allowed to marry a woman outside of one outside of the tribe, and she had to be a virgin. So they can keep their minds focused on the Most High. For this man to marry this woman, and they argued that the whoredom she committed, it wasn't that she slept around, because if she slept around, well, let's say worst case scenario, she did sleep around on him. Then according to the law, she should have been put to death. There shouldn't have been a time or she should not have been allowed to even go to her father's house. Because if the laws of God were being kept, she would have been put to death. And then if the laws of God were being even kept at that time, that Levite would never have married her. She was from the tribe of Judah. He was a Levite. If the laws of God were being observed, that would not have happened. Because while he went away to get her, what about his job and duty to the Most High while he's out chasing her down? That there is so much wrong that was going on, that the focus is not about this woman getting raped to death. It was just a sign of how far the nation had gotten away from what God wanted in the first place. That how far the nation had gotten for everybody to do what was right in their own eyes, based on what level of comfort and what level of pleasure and what level of luxury they was able to afford or acquire. I started watching earlier this morning. If y'all ever watched that most expensivest YouTube channel that 2 Chainz does. And the name of the show tells you everything about it. It's him finding the most expensivest products around. The one I'm sitting on today, a couple of that I watched today, was some of the most expensive water. Well, this was different. I've seen another one he did with the most expensive. No, that was air. Now, you got people that have literally bottled air. They put air in a bottle. And it's air from, like, the Alps. Air from, like, some far distant places that they literally put into a canister, and people are able to buy it and breathe it at some ridiculous prices. And why? Because they can. That's why. The one I'm showing today was water that was absorbing the energies from different jewels and crystals. That they had this energy water that it was in this dispenser, and if you had this wand, that in this wand that you would put inside the decanter, it had diamonds in it, and that you would put this wand in this decanter that had the water in it, and that the water would absorb some of the frequencies and the energy of the diamonds. And then that, it would give a person energy. That was going for $80 a liter. Another one had you know, gold. Another one had different gems that it was supposedly soaking up the energy from each one of these gems. And the cheapest bottle of water was going for $80. From here, it was like $80. I believe that was going all the way up to $3,600 for some water. But why? Because we can and nobody else can. Because we can't afford it and nobody else can. That's why. Some damn water. And on that particular segment, it was 2 Chainz and Run's daughter, one of his daughters, Angela Simmons, was on that segment of the show. Another one was there's some outlandish ones. Obviously, they start going to like weed cigars and weed diffusers and stuff like that. It got pretty ridiculous in there, and I wanted to turn it off. But as I was looking at some of the segments that was being presented, I was like, damn, people sell these things only to people that can afford these things just because they can. And it's funny that as I'm looking at some of these things with 2 Chainz, this dude is a constant weed smoker. And if you look at the size of the weed cigarettes, I guess, that he would roll, I don't know what else to call them. They weren't blunts. That he used paper. It wasn't cigars that was split open. He wrote his own papers, or he wrote his own blunts with 3 or 4 or 5 pieces of cigarette papers long, and that our drink chaps, they was laughing at him, just commenting on how this dude was so rich and affluent that his joints were so long that he would smoke them down a little bit, and what he called a roach was the size of a regular blunt that he would get rid of. He said because by the time it got down to that short, and it's the size, he called it short because it was size down to the regular size of a blunt, not a joint. It was smoked down to the size of a regular blunt. That he said that by that time, there's so much chemicals and so much bad stuff that's been pulled through the good weed, the gas, he called it, at the front of the weed cigarette that he rolled up. That's all he smoked. And that the blunts that he leaves behind at his restaurants, whatever, that other waitresses or employees will pick them up and be getting high as hell. Because they were literally still the size of a rolled blunt. And why? Just because he could. Just because he could. And I'm looking at this, and I'm relating it to he fast I'm going over about Israel, that the love of money is the root of all evil. This love of money, so a person can get to the point where they don't have to stress about any bills. He was talking about how he just invested $250,000 that morning in a brand new business and wasn't shaking about it, wasn't thinking about it. To drop $250,000 on a brand new business was nothing. And the very next day, he was closing on a brand new house in California. And that he was wearing over, I guess he got a song on one of his albums called 10 Bracelets. And the reason it's called 10 Bracelets because that's how many bracelets he normally wears every day. And that he's normally wearing about $1 million worth of jewelry on his person at any time. Over $1 million worth of jewelry, of the platinum and diamond necklaces, the 2 Chainz, hence his name, 2 Chainz, and the 10 bracelets. And another video, he was talking about how he keeps about $60,000 worth of cash on him at any time. And was really saying that as he's smoking, inhaling on a weed cigarette, saying that God has blessed him with so much, that he is blessed by God, and was sincere in saying it. As he was talking to Noriega from Drink Champs, and Noriega just bought a brand new baby. So listen, I'm going to end it with that. I know we did not get to a lot of scriptures tonight, but hoping tonight was able to give a little bit more better insight, maybe able to give a little bit better understanding of where these classes that I'm doing, where they're coming from, and why, and that we really got to wake up. That and our level of waking up is not just the fact that we just know we're Israelites, but we still keep pursuing the lifestyles and the lifestyle that I just want to be comfortable. We've been here, brothers and sisters. We've been here. It didn't help us then. It's not going to help us now. That this idea is that we think we're coming with something brand new that's never been done or tried before. Brothers and sisters, it's been done. So with that, as I look up my the ending music, thank you everybody for tuning in. As today is Wednesday, tomorrow's Thursday, I'll probably do tomorrow's show tomorrow morning. Because I believe I got something going on for my daughter tomorrow evening. So with that, thank you everybody for tuning in. Again, don't forget to spread the word that you can catch us live during our podcast. Catch us live by calling in to 646-668-2568. Again, that's 646-668-2568. You can listen in live through your phone. Or if you want to go through the www.blogsoulradio.com website that you access through your phone also as well, or your home computer. That's the one you can listen in. Or you can catch us on any one of our archive shows or archive libraries at Google Podcast, ISBHBK Bible Talk on Google Podcast, ISBHBK Bible Talk on iHeartRadio Podcast, ISBHBK Bible Talk on Podcast Addict. All right. Thank you all for tuning in. If you would like to help support our broadcast, our podcast, we ask that you please send any donations you might have to on Cash App. It's at Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A, the number 575 at gmail.com, or using the same address, Mashaba, M-A-S-H-A-H-B-A, 575 at gmail.com, through your Google Google Pay, GPay. All right, so with that, everybody for tuning in, I'm going to say shalom.
Shema
the old Israel.